and you can hear it on betterlawnsandgardens.com, betterlawns.com. And good morning, Lizzie. We've had a great morning so far talking about birds. I love talking about birds.
Oh, I love that. And I didn't know anything about the pelicans and that they migrate. So if you want to go back and search for the first hour, you can go back and listen and find out about the pelicans migrating.
I know. I just think it's wonderful. And so let's start with John Denver. He's on his way.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is dedicated to Ed, who always listens to the dirty word of the day and lets me know his thoughts on them. And I do appreciate that. And the dirty word of the day today is parterre. A parterre is a part of a formal garden constructed on a level substrate consisting of symmetrical patterns made up by plant beds, plats, low hedges, or colored gravel, which are separated and connected by paths. Typically, it was part of the garden nearest the house, perhaps after a terrace, and the view of the parterre from inside the house, especially from upper floors, was a major consideration in its design. The word parterre was and is used for both the whole part of the gardening, a garden containing parterres, and for each individual section between the alleys. The pattern of or the borders of the beds may be marked by low, tightly pruned evergreen hedges, and their interiors may be planted with flowers, herbs, or other plants and filled with mulch or gravel. Parterres need not have any flowers at all. Statues or small evergreen trees clipped as pyramids or other shapes often mark the points in the pattern. Otherwise, the parterre was normally an area of openness with the various elements very low, contrasting with the height of the house and with the taller areas of the garden beyond. This made the parterre both a place to be seen. Typically, everyone walking in the parterre and observers from around it could see everyone else. But also, parterres are a place for the most private conversations, as no one else could approach without being seen. The paths are made up of gravel, or much less often in historical examples, with turf grass. So the dirty word of the day is parterre. And I love designing them. I love putting them in gardens, and I love seeing them in gardens. And the France is where they originated, and they look beautiful in these estates. They would have these large open areas that had all these complex curlicues and designs, where you just walked around and enjoyed the view.
It's almost like going to a museum and going and having to go around and look, being only allowed to an extent to look at certain things, or forced. Okay, let me correct that. You're forced to be focused on it. So it sounds like that's you're forced to look at this, and then
yes,
you get to see that.
Exactly. And it's just an area. I love putting herbs in them, but they are high maintenance. And so a lot of people, you know, do not want that high maintenance, but you can have it. And I love seeing a well-manicured parterre. And it's just very, very enjoyable. So this is going to be gardening questions all throughout this hour. This is your opportunity to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. The number should be in your phone so that you can call and ask your gardening question. Or you can text me at 23680. What kind of bedding plants can you be planting right now? Well, you know, we are going into our warm period, and you want to make sure that you are, you know exactly when it gets warm in your area. Now, South Florida stays warm all winter long. And so you could be planting herbs all winter long. And the warm season vegetables that you can be planting right now, beans and cantaloupe, corn and cucumbers, eggplant, loofah, peppers, pumpkins, and squash, tomatoes, and watermelon. And also, too, for the herbs, anise, basil, borage, chives. I love chives. Mm-hmm. They're so beautiful. And they do attract butterflies and bees. They love that. Dill and fennel, which should always be a mainstay in a butterfly garden. Lemon balm and mint. I'm saying that very, very calmly. Mint, you need to just make sure you have it in a container or in an area that you don't mind it spreading. Oregano, parsley, rosemary, and sage, sweet marjoram, tarragon, and thyme. And so that right now, as we're going into the warmer seasons, if you wanted to plant your herbs in an area that has full sun in the morning and afternoon shade, they will appreciate that and they will, you know, thrive in it as well. Also, too, the bulbs you could be planting right now. So the kaffir lilies are wonderful. These are gorgeous plants from Africa that have beautiful blooms on them. And you can be planting those right now. We just moved some around in a garden this week. African irises. So I'm seeing a lot of African irises that are getting really clumpy and, and very full and thick. This is a time to divide them up, and you can plant them in other areas. You can give them to your neighbors, whether it is the yellow African iris or the white. Both of them are starting to bloom right now, but dividing them up is a good thing to do. Also, your grasses, if you wanted to divide your ornamental grasses up too as well, you can do that. Then the Amazon lily, amaryllis. My amaryllis is just now starting to bloom. I have orange ones coming up, and they are beautiful. Asiatic lilies, blackberry lilies. My blackberry lilies bloom during the wintertime, but they are also, now they've gone to seed, so I'm going to be cutting those back. Blood lilies and bulbines. Your bulbines, if you wanted to divide them up, you can do that now. They're really a very nice succulent. And they start to get, like, they grow above the ground. And so if you have bulbines and you just want to divide them up and replant them, this is a good time of the year to do it. Caladiums you can be planting right now, or they should start coming up right now. You'll start to see the caladiums in the stores. Canna lilies and crinums. And, oh, Gary, thank you for the crinum lily. It's just wonderful. It's doing very well. This rain is going to help it. Day lilies and gladiolus. Gloriosa lilies. If you've never seen a gloriosa lily, they are a very sweet little vine that they grow about 5 to 6 feet tall. But their flower petals are crimped, and they just really, very curly. It's white and beautiful. Gloriosa lilies are gorgeous. I love them. Louisiana iris and society garlic, spider lilies, and rain lilies. Rain lilies are my favorite. I love them. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you'd like to give me a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967. If you like to text me, 23680, and we'll get right to you. Let's go to Bob in Land O'Lakes. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Miss Teresa.
How can I help you?
I have got some lime sizzlers that have little red spots all over them. Okay. And I'm just wondering how in Christ's creation to heal them.
Okay, and so how tall are they?
Maybe 1.5, 2 feet.
Okay, and How long have they been in the ground?
Just under a year.
Okay. And do they get irrigation or are they not irrigated?
They do get irrigation.
What time?
From well water.
From well water. Okay. And what time of the day do you irrigate?
Like between 04 and 06 is when the different zones go through their rotation.
So 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. And that sounds good. And so how often do you water them?
Once, twice a week, is depending on rainfall.
Okay, super. Okay, so it sounds like they're getting a little fungus issue. I know you sent me a photograph. It hasn't arrived yet, so I can't really see it. But when I get the picture, I'll be able to help you more. But it just sounds like it's a little fungus. And, you know, if you get this every year, is this the first time you've seen it?
Yes.
Okay. So what I would suggest is that you wait a couple of weeks and go ahead and trim them back and then apply a fungicide after that. So with the humidity, with the heat of the wintertime, we've had a really warm winter, except for a few weeks. It's very possible that it's very easy to get a fungus. But you can't cure a fungus, okay? It's never curative, but you can prevent them. So the location of it, let me just ask you, where are they located? You said 4 to 5 feet from the house?
No, they're 3 to 4 feet, I mean, 3-ish feet tall, and they're right next to the house. So they get morning shade. It's on the western side of the house.
It's on the western side of the house. Okay. What I'm thinking is that I kind of want to visualize this, and when I see them, I will. I want to make sure you have good air circulation so that they're not too cramped up against the house, and that kind of stresses plants out when the air can't circulate well around certain plants. And so, so even though you're doing all the right things, it's just not a really good location for them. So again, I would cut them back, then put on a fungicide on them, okay, according to the instructions, and then see if it comes back. And if it does, then I would think about moving them out just a little bit further or to a different location.
I'll do it.
Okay, Bob. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, I can't wait to see the pictures, and I'll probably leave here, and it'll probably pop right up on my phone. So, I'll let you know when I see them what might be the issue, because I'll see the location too as well. Thank you so much for sending a picture.
Thank
I do appreciate.
You.
All right, Bob.
Absolutely.
That's Bob in Land O'Lakes, and you can give me a gardening question 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. So, you know, kind of trying to diagnose on the phone, you're trying to look and in your mind's eye what we're talking about. And so it sometimes helps to get a picture.
Right, yeah. And we sometimes we don't have the best cell service inside this building. So, yeah, definitely, you know.
Well, they want to be protective, so that's great. So Jay from Melbourne, Texas, and he said, can a non-weeping bottled bush tree be planted about 4 to 5, 4.5 feet from southern wall of my house? And so, Jay, I would say, yes, it can, but is it a good idea? Are you going to keep it? Because it's going to get wider than 4.5 feet. So it's going to be brushing up against your house. It's something bottle brushes need full sun, and they also need room to grow. So I would say it's not exactly a good place to plant it. And but unless you're going to keep cutting it, and then you're going to cut the blooms off. So it's never going to really look as good as what it could be. So as a designer and just kind of just in general, I would say that's not a good location because they do get big, even the non-weeping ones. All right. So thanks for the question, though. And then Eric said that he gets the mint reference, Lizzie, because he planted holy basil 7 years ago. And it's still coming up everywhere.
Yeah, it's, you know, Teresa, for those that don't know what we're talking about, I tend to, I'm undiagnosed ADD, ADHD, okay? And with that being said, that means I have, it's called compulsive buying or thinking I need to do something right then and there,
right.
And it's got to be done or the world's going to end. So mint was my thing last year.
And I really acerbated it because I gave you chocolate mint, which just tastes just like a Girl Scout cookie.
Yeah, she thought she took care of it. And she gave me quite a few of them, and they're beautiful. And there's millions of them across my property right now. Thank you very much. But then I'm like, now I need peppermint. Now I need spearmint. Now I need blah, blah, blah. Now I need this mint, that mint. And so let's just say, if you don't want mint for the rest of your life growing underground and then popping up all over the place, don't get mint. Or just keep it in a pot, like she said.
Keep it in a pot and then, you know, don't let it go to flower. And then that way the seeds won't germinate. So, yeah, it's something. Anne from Hudson says, we have a Tropic Beauty with at least 100 peaches. A few have ripened and are mushy without taste. Should we leave them on the tree for a better crop in May? There are a few leaves, ripe peaches, green peaches, and new blossoms. I would say, you know, you can go ahead and leave them on the tree because they will ripen. And then you're just going to have a crop that's going to ripen over the season. You don't have to pull them off unless you want to. But then again, I also want to know, is this a small tree? Did you just plant it in the ground this year, a couple of years ago? How old is a tree? If it's 5 to 7 years old, then it really loves the location and is producing well, and it's just going to ripen over the period. It's not necessarily going to ripen all at the same time because we had such a warm winter, and it produced flowers early. So I would say I would leave them on the tree and let them ripen full. If they're mushy and you don't want to eat them and they don't have taste, you can pull those ones off. But yeah, I would leave them on the tree. Good question. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Let's go to Brenda in Polk City. Good morning, Brenda. Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning. My husband and I are wondering when we should fertilize our lawn for this. You know, for this springtime.
Okay, great.
And we have 2.5 acres.
Wow. You definitely need to do soil testing before you fertilize, because fertilizing is really expensive, especially with that amount of property. And so have you ever sent a soil test in?
Yes, probably been a couple of years ago.
Okay, so it's recommended now to do it every year, and so that they can they can test. So I would contact your Polk County Extension Service, get a soil test, and it will tell you exactly what you need to fertilize and with. But also too, you can do that. You can start fertilizing in March. So right now, if you go up to the extension office, you can get a soil test. They'll give you the responses back probably within a week, seven to 10 days, and then you'll know exactly. It'll be the right time to fertilize, and you'll know exactly what to do, and that's going to save you money.
Okay.
Okay, Brenda, thank you so much. Thanks. Great question. We fertilize our plants and turf way too much.
Yes.
And fertilizing too much can cause thatch. It makes the plants grow more, and so you're going to have to, it stresses it out so that it's more susceptible to insects and also disease. And so we recommend that you get a soil test every year before you fertilize, and that's going to save you money. Now, if you have a landscape company, ask them to do a soil test before they fertilize. And you want to make sure you're using a licensed company that can apply fertilizers, but you also want to make sure you get that soil test first, because most likely you're not going to need to fertilize that much. And so it will tell you, especially if you're doing raised beds, or not raised beds, but vegetable gardens, and then also to, you know, if you're near a lake or a water body, you definitely want to get a soil test because you may not need to fertilize. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. And Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, I would love to hear it. You can even just tell me what's growing in your garden. I will talk about it and give you lots of praise or help you, whichever you need. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And if you'll go to our Facebook page, we would really love it if you would go and you'd give us, you know, 5 stars and just like the page.
Yes.
And we will really like that. And then today I'll be posting some more bird photographs. Eric's has sent me some beautiful ones. So I'll be posting Eric's bird photographs and the ones that I took of the pelicans. And then also, too, we're going to be posting some of your pictures from your questions, and I'll upload more information on that. So Brad in Palm Bay, he's listening, and he couldn't stay on the line, but he wanted to know, you know, if we could grow asparagus here. And I will tell you, it's very difficult to grow asparagus in Florida. It is known as sparrowgrass. I love that, birding month and sparrowgrass. But it does not really do well here in Florida. The states that grow the most asparagus are California, New Jersey, Washington, and Massachusetts. So you can kind of tell from those states that the conditions here in Florida don't allow for asparagus to grow really well. And so if you'd like to try it, Brad, there's a couple of varieties that would do well. Okay. Not as well as up north, but you can try it, and you can put out the crowns and varieties such as Mary Washington, Martha Washington, and Palmetto, and Mammoth White too as well. But the chances of it living for a long time like they do up north is not good. But that's a great question. I love asparagus. Just order sparrowgrass at your next restaurant, or you're telling your kids they're having sparrowgrass for dinner tonight. So Anne from Hudson said that she texted back, thank you so much, Anne. The tree, her peach tree is 20 years old and has at least 100 peaches on it. So, Anne, good job. It loves what you're doing. It loves the location. And it's called a tropic beauty, which is perfect for Florida. It needs low chill hours, and it does very well here in Florida for those of you in North and Central Florida. And if you're looking for a variety, tropic beauty is an excellent one, as Anne can vouch for. And so, again, I would leave the peaches on the tree and just enjoy them as they ripen. Eric also texted back about the mints, and he says Florida is a perfect environment for mints, and we do even have native mints. And yes, we do, Eric. Mints thrive here in Florida. And so I love the idea. You can use it as a ground cover. And then also between pathways and walkways, flagstones, you can have it, and then you can just step on mint and smell like Girl Scout cookies.
I mean, I'm not complaining because I love the smell of it. So, yeah, it definitely gives a beautiful smell.
There you go. So we have Eileen from Polk City on. Good morning, Eileen. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, we're great. So you have a fake bird of paradise. What's going on?
That thing is going to the road soon.
What's wrong with it?
It's not doing anything. Nothing.
Okay.
And when it gets windy, the leaves break.
Okay, so this is a giant bird of paradise you're talking about then, right?
Yes.
Okay, so they do get tall and they do get whip torn. They really, the leaves do get whipped by the winds. And so how long have you had it? Remind me.
I think almost a year now.
Oh, give it a shot, Eileen. It hasn't been in the ground long enough. Okay.
Oh, I'm going to give it a shot, all right.
So
it might be a shot with a shovel.
That's funny. And so is it in full sun?
Yes.
Okay, and how often do you water it?
Well, we've gotten a lot of rain.
Okay. I want you to make sure that it's consistent, though, so that you don't go like 2 to 3 weeks without watering.
No. No, I don't do that.
Okay, good.
No. Okay. Not at all.
All right. And so I would say that it's just a year old and those trees get really big and huge. Is it close to the house or is it in a good location for you that you can just...
No, it's in a good location. It's not close to the house.
Okay. I would just give it a little bit more time, Eileen. You're not thrilled with it. Don't tell it that. Okay, it may be feeling your emotions, and you know you got to go out there and talk to it. And tell
it. You know what? I'll go talk to it.
Go out and talk to it and tell it it's doing a good job, and you're not going to put it out by the curb.
That's right.
Because somebody will pick it up.
Say, you're lovely.
Yes, dude. Give it some confidence.
I'm not going to destroy you with a shovel.
That would be wonderful. Thank you, Eileen. Be good to your birds. This is National Bird Feeding Month, so you gotta include bird of paradises in that.
I have 4 bird feeders, and I have tons of cardinals.
Aww.
And these little birds that I call thickets that I don't know what they are. They're these little gray birds.
Uh huh. They could be titmouses or wrens. Mm hmm.
They're wrens. Okay, they break the seed, and then they go back for more. I mean, I get dizzy by looking at them. But they're the cutest little birds you ever want to see.
They are. They're really adorable. I have to see your yard one day, Eileen. You just have to send me pictures.
After the weeds go away, I will.
I may never get pictures now, Lizzie.
No, you will, because this week I'm working on them.
Oh, good.
I'm working in the yard this week.
Wonderful. It will be a little bit easier with the rain we're getting. The soil, the weeds will be loosened up in the wet soil, so that'll be good.
That's right. And it'll be a good stress reliever.
It will. So, weeding the worries of the world away.
Oh, yeah, and God will be with me.
There you go. Thank you so much. Well, just give your bird of paradise another year. Give it another year.
I will.
All right, hon. Take care. I love Eileen calling in.
I know, right? She's always got such good stories, but it's always, you know, it's always got something to do with plants or what we can do to help her.
There you go.
Her yard. I love it.
Sally, she, I don't know where she is, but she says she has a cabbage palm in her front yard. It's in a sunny location, and it has yellow-tipped leaves. It's never been fertilized, and we live here half of the year, and she doesn't have any irrigation system. Please advise. Okay, Sally, hold on. We're going to get right back to you after a word from our sponsors. 1-888-455-2967 from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. We're back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. If you missed any of today's show, you can go back and listen to it on betterlawns.com when it's uploaded, and also anywhere on iHeart or anywhere where you listen to podcasts. It will be uploaded today and over the next few days, and you can see it. You know what I've been thinking about, Lizzie?
Ooh, what have you been thinking about?
Putting it on YouTube.
Well, we got the cameras. I can do it. All I can do is flip a switch. Everything's already set up.
I know.
That's... All right.
The only thing is I look better on the radio.
Girl, me too. That's the only reason why I got in radio is because I saw my face and I was like,
But I'm thinking about it. And so Sally Marshall, she said, my cabbage palm in my front yard. It's in a sunny location, has yellow-tipped leaves. It's never been fertilized. We live here half throughout the year with no irrigation system. Please advise. And she said, thank you and love your show. Sally, thank you for listening. We love you guys too, everybody that listens to the show. Okay, so palms are... heavy feeders. And by that, I mean they like to have enough of the micro and the macronutrients. So not only the nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, but also too the manganese and magnesium. They need those nutrients. Now, cabbage palms are native to Florida and up the East Coast all the way up through to just the lower portion of North Carolina. And do they get that in the woods or in just growing natively? Not necessarily, but then they don't look as good as those palm trees that we grow for landscape use. So the cabbage palm does really well in full sun, but it needs to be fertilized on a consistent basis. So what I would do is I would get a fertilizer, and when you come down in the fall, Sally, go ahead, or whenever you come down, go ahead and fertilize it then with a palm tree fertilizer. Make sure it has those micronutrients, the manganese and magnesium in it too. And then also, when you drive before you leave, go ahead and fertilize it. All right. And then that will help with the nutrition. And, you know, sometimes palms just get chlorotic leaves and one will fall off or not look so good. And you can cut that off. Make sure you use sterile tools, because our cabbage palms are, you know, they're going through a problem disease that's all around the state. And that's lethal bronzing. And you don't want to cut it often. So if you don't need to cut your palm fronds, do not. Okay, Sally, great question. 1-888-455-2967. We still have time.
Yes.
And then you can text me 23680.
So I kind of, after experiences with milkweed, as much as I love butterflies and everything, I always end up getting that, whatever that is, that's got like orange little mini eggs or something on it. And they're
aphids.
Thank you. And I was so excited. I saw some and I'm like, do I really want to do the milkweed thing again? And sure enough, a monarch came by and like hit me in the face. And I'm not kidding, hit me in the face and then landed on the milkweed in front of me at the store. And I'm like, all right, I hear you. So I got two of them and I checked them out, investigated them. Look, there's nothing on them. One of them, I had to douse in soap because I'm like, it all of a sudden, there's all these aphids. Everything's all on it. And I'm like,
yeah. Well, but so you don't, well, you can use soap to get rid of them, but I just take a hose and just spray them off. I just spray them right across the yard to where Timbuktu, and they just they'll get annoyed after you do it two times and you they'll be gone.
I got 2.5 acres, so it's not just spraying away. I mean,
yeah, but you don't see those ones that are 2 acres away. So,
facts.
Right.
Okay.
So just around the house is all you need to be concerned about. Okay, because the aphids need to live too.
Okay.
All right.
Just not on my plants.
Not on your plants. But you know what? Then if you have some bad bugs, pest issues, you're going to get the beneficials coming in because they need sources too.
True.
And so, you know, don't freak. Just take your water hose and spray it. Okay. That'll be working. So Valerie asked a really good question. She said, Teresa, I'm a beginning gardener, and I really enjoy the show. Thank you so much. She says, do you recommend planting shrubs to shield the air conditioning unit? If so, what kind of plants or flowers would you recommend? And then would you recommend also putting up a trellis or some fencing 3 to 5 feet from the air conditioning unit? She says, I understand there must be a way to access the unit for maintenance, but I'm concerned about blocking air to and from the air conditioning unit. So, Valerie, great question. Now, if you live in an HOA, you're required to have some kind of blocking, you know, visual block by planting plants there. So one, I just need to know how much property it's on. And so I'm going to give you some suggestions. But if you're in a zero lot line and not in an HOA, my best solution is that you want to make sure that you plant 2 to 3 feet away from the air conditioning unit. That's what the recommendation is from the air conditioning companies. You want to be 2 to 3 feet away for that good clearance and that the condenser can work better. Okay. And at least 5 feet over the top of it. So you don't necessarily want to plant things that are really tall so that you're blocking that airflow. You want to have a plant or a shrub that is evergreen so you don't have, you know, it, you know, losing its leaves in the wintertime. And you want a foliage to grow upwards. All right. And so those are the conditions. It's got to be 2 to 3 feet away from your air conditioner, from the condenser, and at least 5 feet above it has to be free from any kind of plants, shrubs, or any kind of blocking. It needs to be evergreen and the foliage grows upwards. My best choice is the Podocarpus macrophylla. So this is a regular Podocarpus shrub. it takes pruning very well, and it looks good when it's trimmed. You're not ripping leaves off, so it always looks well. The Podocarpus is a very good choice, and that's my favorite. But you can also use snowbush, which is Brennia distichia, and it is a very pretty pink and white or pink and cream and green leaf that has little flowers that are upside down underneath the leaf. If you've got a snowbush and you've never seen the flowers on them, mm-hmm. you have to just lift up the leaves, and they hang down like little bells.
Okay.
And they're really, really, really cute. But you don't buy the plant for the flowers. You just get it for the pink and green and cream leaves. You can use those. And those are very light and airy, and the air circulation will be good from them while it's still, you know, hiding your air conditioning unit. Star jasmine or any of the pinwheel jasmines will work as well. Ixoras will work as well. And then if you want something upright that works really nice and looks good and will get to be 4 feet tall and block your view mostly, it won't cover it completely, but the Apostle's Iris makes a good choice around an air conditioning unit. And then Indian Hawthorn. So those are some really good choices. Now, if you want to use a trellis around it, and you don't need to use a trellis if you have shrubs, the ones that I just mentioned won't need to have a trellis. But you can also use the trellises to put vines on, and you can do that, and you can use the coral honeysuckle. You just want to be careful that you're not attracting pollinators or bees to that area, because sometimes they can nest in the air conditioning unit. So those are some of your choices, Valerie. So great, great, great question. And let's go to Marion. Thank you. Marion, how can I help you?
Hello.
Hello, Marion.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm not a gardener. I'm sorry.
You can still call.
I have a palm tree in the front window. It's large. Well, it's got two branches. I'm not sure what they're called. But anyway, one is flourishing, and the other one, the gardener had cut down without telling me the leaves and everything. He said something was wrong. Anyway, it had some sprouts, and I would water it, but then they dried up, and I don't know if it's dead or not. I hate to see it die. I did get fertilizer to put it around, but I don't know what to do.
Okay, so real quickly, I don't have a lot of time. This is outside your front window?
Yes.
Okay, is it in full sun?
Yes.
Okay. And so I would wait to see if any leaves come out. It may take 2 or 3 months. I don't know what kind of palm tree it is. And so if you could take a picture and send it to me, teresa.watkins@live.com, I can look at it and give you better instructions. But I would just say, do not fertilize it anymore. Make sure it's getting water, full sun, and a frond should pop up within a couple of months. But I would ask your gardener not to cut it anymore. Okay, Marion? Okay, good. All right, thank you. So I want to let everybody know that I'll be speaking at the Gardening Expo next week, 2024, Gardening Expo 2024, Saturday, February 24th. I'll be speaking at 1 o'clock, and the expo goes from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's going to be a wonderful day. Lots of experts there and lots of vendors. You can buy plants. 250 West County Home Road, Sanford, Florida, 32773. Thank you to Aaron Boyer for coming on. Lizzie, thank you for a great show.
Thank you.
Thank you to all our callers. We love you guys, and we're going to be back next week with more Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.